Palm Sunday today. So we send blessings and greetings to each of you on this Sunday. Just want to say a short prayer if I can. Thank you. Lord God, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So I'm asking God that you would use this vessel in this moment as you choose. And Lord, let my life, let it praise you. We're asking for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, speak through us, and speak to your people. Speak to everyone that will have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say unto the church. And God, we're asking that you help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only. Have your way today. Let somebody be saved by the preaching of your word. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost by the preaching of your word. Set captives free today. Break the bands of wickedness loose, every shackle, by the preaching of your word. And we'll give you praise. We're looking for you to move according to your power and according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was looking last week and thinking about the season that we're in, what I believe the Lord would have me share today, when you read God's word, it's fascinating to me anyway, to see how so together God is. That's the best way that I can really describe it, and how powerful God is. And He declares things. He declares things from before they even happen. And then he sustains what he has declared in years past, and he allows it to be manifested and taken place for all mankind to see, just like he said it was going to happen. And God has a way of prophesying the future before it even happens. And when it happens, all we can do is give God praise. All we can do is give God thanks. All we can do really is to stand in awe again of this great God. And so it is with the occasion that the Christian world looks at for Palm Sunday. Walk with me, if you will, to the Old Testament for a moment in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 9. Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9. Of course, I have the Amplified Classic version of the Bible, but you can read along with any version that you have. And here we see God speaking through the prophet Zechariah. This is what it says in Zechariah 9 and 9, Amplified Classic. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation, triumphant and victorious, patient, meek, lowly, and riding on a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here God is prophesying through Zechariah a future event that's going to happen. And this gives us confidence. Well, it gives me confidence, and I'm hoping we all can take confidence from the simple fact that whatever God said is going to happen, it's going to happen. We can depend on God. Bible says in one place that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So God declaring an event that was going to happen years down the line, but had the prophet Zechariah record this and speak under the inspiration of God himself. And we move to Psalm 118. Walk with me there. You can stay seated, but walk with me. Walk with me to Psalm 118 and look at verse number 25. Psalm 18 and verse number 25. I'm sorry, 118. Yeah, it's right here in my notes. That one tried to sneak away from me, huh? Psalm 118. Excuse me. And beginning at verse 25. Here the psalmist is writing something. He says, "Save now, we beseech you, O Lord. Send now prosperity, O Lord, we beseech you. And give to us success." Verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord, you who come into his sanctuary under his guardianship." Verse 27, "The Lord is God, who has shown and given us light. He has illuminated us with grace, freedom, and joy. Decorate the festival with leafy boughs and bind the sacrifices to be offered with thick cords all over the priest's court, right up to the horns of the altar." Here again, there's a prophetic declaration about an event that's going to happen. Here again, we see God in his power to declare some things that are yet to take place, building, as we read the historical biblical account, building our faith again and letting us know that whatever God has declared is going to happen. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it is important for us to hear God's word and to take confidence and believe God's word. Walk with me to Isaiah chapter number 62. Isaiah chapter number 62. And after we read this verse, I'll let you know what my thought is. But you believe he ain't saying that. Don't worry. Stick with the plan. It's going to be all right. All right, Isaiah 62, verse number 11 in the Amplified Classic. Here's what it says. "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes in the person of the Lord. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work and recompense before him." The thought I'd like to share this morning as we look at Palm Sunday and the celebrations of Palm Sunday simply is, behold your King. Behold your King. Now, I want you to stick with me and see how this develops. We know that God gave the prophecy about what was going to happen. And we know that Israel oftentimes didn't follow God as closely as they should have. We know that because of their behavior and manner of living, that they were put under correction oftentimes in the history of God dealing with Israel. We know even in the time of the judges, if you read Judges, God would raise up the judge, and then the judge would be sent by God to deliver the people, and the people did okay while the judge was living. But when the judge died, the people acted up, I'll say. They went astray. Thank you. Thank you. And when we move to the time that this prophecy from Zechariah and Psalm and Isaiah is about to be unfolded in the face of mankind, we see that Israel is looking for a king. We see that the Jews, I'm sorry, this is new, I'm moving to New Testament time, but I had to look at some of the history and what got Israel and the Jewish nation in trouble. Not following God, not being obedient to God. What gets us in trouble? I put my glasses on so I can see you. Not following God, not listening to the instructions of God. And we miss the mark. We go astray, and God, in his grace and his mercy, allows correction to come if we heed it, if we listen to it, because again, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So in the New Testament time, walk with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in the 11th chapter. All right. Remembering now what Zechariah declared. Remembering what the writer in Psalm 118 declared. Remembering what Isaiah said in the 62nd chapter. So now we see these things about to happen. And here we are in Mark, the 11th chapter, thank you, and beginning at verse number 1. When they were getting near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent ahead two of his disciples. This is Jesus sending two disciples. And instructed them, go into the village in front of you. And as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, which has never been ridden by anyone. Unfasten it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, verse 3, why are you doing this? Answer, the Lord needs it, and he will send it back here presently. Now, that's some power right there. Go someplace to a place that, go to this town in front of you, and when you get there, this is what's going to happen. And then you might get asked a question. And when you're asked that question, here's the answer. Now, don't get smart. Just here, answer this. And when you answer the correct answer, then you're going to get what you ought to get. Oh, there's some power in unpacking that, but I don't have time to unpack that right now. But this is what is happening. And then verse 4, so they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the winding open street, and they loosed it. And some who were standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they replied, as Jesus had directed them, and they allowed them to go. Wow, here's a thought. Say what Jesus wants you to say. Just say what he wants you to say. You don't have to come up with no explanation, no theory. Whatever God tells you to say, you declare that. Amen. I'm going to let that sink into my own head for a minute, y'all. Excuse me for a moment. Say what Jesus wants you to say, right? Verse 7, And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their outer garments upon it, and he sat on it. And many of the people spread their garments on the road, and others scattered a layer of leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. That sounds like what was happening in Psalm, right? It sounds like God is fulfilling what he had already declared. And verse 9, and those who went before and those who followed cried out with a cry of happiness, Hosanna, be graciously inclined and propitious to him. Praised and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 10, praised and blessed in the name of the Lord is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna, oh save us in the highest heavens. Here's the mindset. Here's the mindset here. Remember, the Jews were in bondage. They were looking for a king. But they were looking for a king to get them out of the human circumstances and government of the Roman Empire. So they were looking to throw off the shackles of the Roman rule and set up a rule, a physical rule. So they had the wrong idea. They had the wrong idea because it was prophesied that your king is coming to you lowly. He's coming riding on a donkey. And kings usually, when they come in and make a triumphant entry, they ride on horses. They ride on horses, and they got, you know, if you will, an entourage when the kings come. But here is Jesus riding on a donkey. The people, their people, is a question that arises in my mind when I'm looking at this. What kind of king were they expecting? Were they looking for somebody to make their immediate life better down here? Did they not recognize that this individual riding on a donkey is in fact the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Did they recognize and understand that he was introducing a spiritual kingdom? Or did they just want to be better down here? And that's oftentimes, I don't know if what's going on. Can y'all still hear me? All right. I'm sort of muddled. All right. But they'll work that out. So that means you got to listen intently now. So that might work to our advantage. So oftentimes, the question is for our society in our day, what are you looking for in Jesus? Behold your king. Now, remember these words, behold your king, because they were happy, they were excited. They were looking for a revolution, if you will. They were looking to overthrow the Roman government and be set up. They wanted to be, Lord help me, they wanted to be large and in charge. We finally gonna get out of this system that is oppressing us. And did not really realize that the system that was really oppressing them was the kingdom of darkness. So they didn't understand that Jesus was ushering in, because he had to fulfill the scripture. He had to come in the manner that God had declared. He had to come in the town just like that.
and they got carried away. Don't get carried away with the crowd, with what they were chanting, with what popular opinion is. Because popular human opinion is fickle. You can't put any confidence in it. Here these people saying, oh, Hosanna. They were celebrating, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, oh, save now. Finally, we're going to get some relief. Oh, save now. And it would seem from an outside look that, yeah, the people, they was really with Jesus. But come back next week. A week later, the same people that said, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The same people, when you move over to John, chapter number 12, and Pilate is saying, I find no fault in him. What do you want me to do with your king? Pilate used the same words. Pilate said, behold your king. And you know what they said? Crucify him. Wait a minute. How did popular opinion change from 7 days ago when you were taking off your garments and you were throwing them down on the street and you were waving palm branches and you were saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But when God didn't do what you thought he was going to do, then they were through with him. Sometimes, sadly, some act the same way. Sometimes, sadly, God knows how to deliver. And oftentimes, maybe they forgot what was written in their scriptures. Maybe they forgot what Isaiah was talking about, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Maybe they forgot that their king would have to suffer first. Maybe they forgot that Isaiah had already declared he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrow acquainted with grief. Maybe, now they had the scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament scriptures. Maybe they forgot that's how their king was really. See, sometimes you can get so involved in what you're dealing with on a physical nature that you forget the real important things is the spiritual aspect. So maybe they just wanted a Calgon take me away moment. Maybe they just wanted a moment of rest. And had they really considered what they were saying, had they really considered that this is the King of Glory, had they really considered the fact that, yes, this group of people who were saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and they was all excited and in an uproar, and they was crying out joyfully because, oh, this is it. Now we're gonna really get out of this. But they didn't realize the thing, or did they realize the things that Jesus had to go through? Yes, in fact, he is the king. Yes, in fact, he was the king making his entrance, but he was entering in just like God said he was going to enter in. And we have to be careful. We can't put Jesus in the category of, Lord help me here, of a genie, if you will. We can't put Jesus in the category of Jesus is not, oh Lord help me here, pray for your boy. Jesus is not connected with Make-A-Wish Foundation. Sometimes that's what we treat Jesus like, a Make-A-Wish Foundation. I sure wish I can get out of this. Listen, what Jesus came to do is to deliver all mankind from the clutches and the bondage of sin. That's what he came to do. Remember, Jesus said that he came to give his life a ransom for many. And because he went through his suffering, because he went through his humiliation, because he went through the temptation that he had to go through, he is our faithful high priest, and he is able to get us through whatever temptation that befalls us. Yes, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we have to get the right perspective about our King. Jesus is not going to give us everything that we want, because sometimes we don't want what's good for us. Sometimes we want our way. Sometimes we want an easy road. But listen, the Bible said that he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. We have to understand that there is a war that's constantly going on in our members. We have two natures. If we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, we got two natures that are in us. We got our human nature, and we got the nature of Christ. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to be thankful, because you can't win a spiritual war without the Spirit of God. And I'm so glad that even though there's a battle that's going on in our members, Paul said that when I would do good, evil is ever present. But I'm glad that I got what God gave out on the day of Pentecost. It's the King that given us his Spirit. It's the sovereign God that poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Aren't you glad that you got the Spirit of the King on the inside? Behold your King. Look into the mirror of God's word and see what God has declared. The King's word cannot be compromised. The King's word cannot be rescinded. And God has declared that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Listen, God does not do, fixer-uppers, if you will. God does not do rehabs, because if you do a rehab, that means you still got some of the old stuff. But the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Glory to God. God don't need our scraps. God don't need our junk to build his kingdom in us. But the kingdom of God is in us. The kingdom of God is in our hearts. That's why when Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was not talking about a physical kingdom here on the earth, though he's going to come back and reign, but it ain't time for that yet, because when he comes back and set his foot on the earth, guess what, my brother and my sister, we're coming back with him, but the time is not yet. If I were you, I would behold your King. Behold, God said in his word that he's standing at the door and he's knocking on the hearts of men and women. He's saying, let me in. Don't you know who I am? Listen, I have to ask myself and all of us a question. Who's really reigning in our hearts? Who are we listening to? Is God King or is he not? If God is King in my life, that means he is in control of every aspect of my life. Sometimes my human mind wrestles with that. You mean I can't do what I want to do? No, I cannot, because when I would do good, evil is ever present. You mean why would God God, oh, give me a mind if he don't want me to use it. Why would God allow me to get educated if he didn't want me to use my elevated mind and my elevated thinking? Wait, God has allowed me to get a few letters after my name, but the letters don't really mean nothing, because I hear God, as he wrote a letter to the church, he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible let me know that every born again, every child of God has the mind of Christ. So that means I don't call my own shots. That means that I got to allow myself to be led by the Spirit of God. Wait a minute. God has declared that we are in a holy nation. God has declared that we are in a kingdom of priests, and there's only one king in the kingdom, and his name is Jesus. So we don't call the shot. We don't direct our steps. I hear God tap me on the shoulder and say, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I ain't no shot caller. Even when I thought I was out there in the world, the devil, who was my puppet master, he was pulling my strings, had me doing all kind of ungodly things. But thank God, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he stretched out his arms and cut the strings from the devil up off me, because God has declared that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Behold your King. We are no longer bound, because the King of glory has set us free. The King of glory, he had to go through his punishment. He had to go through that abuse. I'm glad that he came as a man. Yes, the Jews were saying he's the Son of David, because they was connecting up their relationship through the human lines. But I'm glad that God said that the seed of Abraham, in that seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So I'm not a Jew, and neither are you, but we're in the seed. Oh, glory, hallelujah, because God did make the promise to Abraham while he was yet uncircumcised. So the promise is not according to your ethnicity. The promise is not according to your culture. The promise is according to the word of the King, and the seed of the woman is none other than Jesus Christ. So when he came in, he knew what he had to do. Even when Pilate was talking to him and said, don't you hear what they're saying? Don't you know that I got power? Pilate thought he had some power, but that was delegated power. Pilate told him, I can let you go if I want to. Jesus didn't back up. He said, in essence, you ain't really got no power. The power that you're using is on loan to you from God. Jesus told him, listen, you want to talk about power? I got a commandment from God. You can't take my life. I got power to lay it down, and I got power to pick it back up again. In fact, I done told my boys before I came into your town. I told them, let's go. We're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to get arrested, and y'all going to cut out. Yeah, I know you said you had my back, but when the deal goes down, oh, y'all leave it. And Peter, you going to cuss and tell folks that, no, I don't know it. Oh, I ain't with him. But that's all right. After you get converted, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brethren. So Jesus said, you ain't got no power to take my life. I got power to lay it down, and I got power to pick it back up again. Only a king has that kind of power. Only a king can speak to human authority and say, you ain't got nothing on me. When I get ready, I'm getting up out of the grave. Just like it was prophesied. I thank God that he is my king. I thank God that he is my sovereign. I thank God that the same spirit that got King Jesus up out of the grave on the third day, the Bible says, if it dwells in us, it will quicken. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. That means if you got the spirit of the king, you got getting up power. So if you got to go to the grave, all you're going to do is sleep a while. Because yet, in a little while, he that shall come, he will come, and his reward, oh glory, is with him. I thank God in that great getting up morning, everybody that got the spirit of God on the inside, we getting up. We're getting up so we don't have to fear what man can do to us. Go ahead and get your heat. Go ahead and get your weapon. You can kill this flesh, but you can't kill this soul, because my soul, my life is hidden in God. Oh, glory. I praise God for my king. Listen, I got to go. I know we got to take communion, but I want you to behold your king. Behold your king. He is still on the throne. He is still sovereign. He is still God. And whatever God has declared over your life, it's going to happen just like God said it would. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. I feel like preaching now. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, he shall, not he might, he shall, not he should, he shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He's not an independent, he's not a Republican, he's not a Democrat, but who is the King of glory? He's not a member of the Proud Boys. He is not a member of the conservative movement. He is not a member of MAGA. He is not a member of the left or the right. But the Bible says, who is? Let me know who you're talking about. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong, oh, glory, the Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory, the Lord mighty in battle. God has always been and always will be undefeated. Oh, glory. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. The King of kings. Behold your King. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. The Lord. He is the King of glory. The Lord. Strong and mighty. He's mighty to save. Listen, I don't care what you might be struggling with. I don't care what you might be bound in. I don't care what have you locked up where you can't even lift your hands and praise in an atmosphere like this. But I encourage you to put your faith. I encourage you to put your confidence, oh glory, in the King of Kings. And Jesus, I remember in his ministry, he walked into the temple and one of the Levites, one of the Pharisees gave him a book of scripture. He opened it up and he said, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to set at liberty them that are bound, the sin, the strong man, the devil. He got somebody bound, but there is a stronger man, and that stronger man is King Jesus. So whatever you're bound in, whatever habit, whatever mistake, that whatever misconception that's rolling around in your mind, can I introduce you to a man? Can I introduce you to a man that is human and divine at the very same time? And that's Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. He is the strong man. He can break every fetter. Y'all taught me that song. Jesus breaks every fetter and he sets me free. And if the Lord had made you free, then you're free indeed. Listen, he paid for our freedom on the cross of Calvary. He ascended up into heaven and sent back the Holy Ghost. Listen, I gotta talk to my babies in this section. Yeah, I'm excited. You know why I'm excited? Because God's gonna give you the Holy Ghost just like he promised. So with joy, the Bible said you're gonna draw water out of the wells of salvation. All you gotta do, babies, is just believe God and begin to praise God. Forget who is around you and just look to God. Behold your King. God wants you to get a good look at him. But when you get a good look at God, he connects with your heart. Down comes the Holy Ghost. I got to run over here in this section because God loves you, Jack. You know God loves you, and he wants you to be a subject and a servant in his kingdom. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost. And if you ain't got it, he wants to give it to you. Susan, God knows you. He knows you by name. The hairs on your head are numbered. God says, I love you and I want you in my kingdom. But you got to let him in. I believe he's knocking at your heart, but you got to let him in. Okay, Brother John, you done went to the water. But the Bible, I got to preach like I feel it, y'all. The Bible said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Just believe God. He ain't asking you to figure him out. We will blow up all of our synapses trying to figure God out. Just believe him and lift your hands and begin to praise God in joyful anticipation of the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth. Don't be ashamed. God said, if you're ashamed of me here, then I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. So the Holy Ghost is for you. You got to believe it and receive it. Wait a minute. Where is my brother? Here he is. He called me at Amosai. He said he wanted to be baptized. But I got biblical records and history that while Peter was preaching, before they went to the water, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to wait to get in the water. Just praise God. Believe God, and down comes the Holy Ghost. Only a king can operate like that. He is the King of Glory. He is the King of Glory. He is. Wait a minute. I can't leave my faithful brother out. He is the King of Glory. God sees your labor. He sees your effort. He sees your heart. And he's knocking at your heart. God, he sees how dedicated you are to helping your parents. He sees how dedicated you are to laboring as a volunteer in this ministry. He wants to be in here. You got to let him in. He said, behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. He ain't going to bust in. He's not going to do a burglary in your heart. You got to let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You got to let him in. Let him in. You got to let him in. Behold your king. Get a good look at him. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, the prophet said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the whole temple. Behold your king. How do you see Jesus? He's knocking. He's knocking at somebody's heart. Don't put a deadbolt lock on your heart. Give Jesus the combination to your heart. It's just faith. That's all. Just believe, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. Glory. As the Spirit of God gave them utterance. We're believing for you. We're believing with you, but you got to make it personal. Jesus is not going to put you in no full Nelson and put you in no headlock or no chokehold to make you receive his spirit. He's already given it out. God's spirit is here. All you got to do is behold your king. Bible says that